We're in Deuteronomy chapter 13 this evening. If you have one of these church Bibles, you'll find that on page 192. And we're going to read the whole chapter. So Deuteronomy 13, starting at verse 1. If you haven't got a Bible and you want one, stick a hand in the air and someone will come and bring you one, I'm sure. That'll be good. If a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a sign or wonder, and if the sign or wonder spoken of takes place, and the prophet says, "Let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them," you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him. Serve him and hold fast to him. That prophet or dreamer must be put to death for inciting rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. That prophet or dreamer tried to turn you away from the Lord your God, the way the Lord your God commanded you to follow. You must purge the evil from among you. If your very own brother, or your son, or your daughter, or the wife you love, or your closest friend secretly entices you, saying, "Let us go and worship other gods, gods that neither you nor your ancestors have known, gods of the people around you, whether near or far, from one end of the land to the other," do not yield to them or listen to them. Show them no pity. Do not spare them or shield them. You must certainly put them to death. Your hand must be the first in putting them to death, and then the hands of all the people. Stone them to death, because they try to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Then all Israel will hear and be afraid, and no one among you will do such an evil thing again. If you hear it said about one of the towns the Lord your God is giving you to live in, that troublemakers have arisen among you and have led the people of their town astray, saying, "Let us go and worship other gods, gods you have not known," then you must inquire, probe, and investigate it thoroughly. And if it is true, and it has been proved that this detestable thing has been done among you, you must certainly put to the sword all who live in that town. You must destroy it completely, both its people and its livestock. You are to gather all the plunder of the town into the middle of the public square and completely burn the town and all its plunder as a whole burnt offering to the Lord your God. That town is to remain a ruin forever, never to be rebuilt. And none of the condemned things are to be found in your hands. Then the Lord will turn from his fierce anger, will show you mercy, and will have compassion on you. He will increase your numbers, as he promised on oath to your ancestors, because you obey the Lord your God by keeping all his commands that I am giving you today and doing what is right in his eyes. This is God's word this evening.
Give the band a chance to sit down. But while they're sitting down, why don't you turn again to Deuteronomy chapter 13. You'll find that on page 192 if you're using one of the church Bibles, Deuteronomy 13. Did anyone else find that a difficult read as David read it to us? Some parts of the Old Testament are very hard, aren't they? They're very heavy, lots of putting to death, lots of drama. And we might sit here and think, well, you know, that's just archaic. You know, this is stuff for a previous generation, and this has got nothing to do with us. But the New Testament won't let us get away with that. The New Testament says that these things have been recorded for us. And so somewhere along the line, in the depths of all this drama, all this kind of extreme death penalty stuff, there is lessons for us to learn today. And so we need God's help, don't we? So let's pray and ask for his help as we look at this together. Our God and our Father in heaven, We believe tonight that the very same Holy Spirit who caused Moses to write these things down is the very same Spirit who lives among us today. And so, Father, we would ask, please, tonight, that the Holy Spirit would cause these truths and these chapters to live in our hearts. Father, teach us. Teach us what it means to take seriously the things that this passage teaches us tonight. And we ask it, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, sadly, and you'll know this, but there have been lots of tragic shootings, haven't there, in schools in America, where gunmen kind of storm the school and cause havoc. And I remember reading one particular article after one such occasion where a police officer, without knowing it, was diverting fleeing crowds right into the path of the gunman. It was a tragic story. This well-meaning police officer was having all these people fleeing, and he was diverting them. But he was diverting them into the path of danger. We could say that that is a dangerous diversion. People are being turned into the path of danger. And if you can have that image in your head, Moses is speaking in this chapter to the loved, to the rescued, to the wandering, yes, but loved, rescued people of God. And he is saying, look, you've got to be careful because there are people who are going to dangerously divert you into the path of danger. In Deuteronomy 13, Moses speaks to us, however hard we might find it to hear, he speaks to us of a danger, a real danger, a real threat of being diverted into the wrong direction. There is a threat of voices in our lives, in the lives of these people back then, that seek to change our direction. Now, what is that dangerous direction? That's what we need to find out tonight, isn't it? What is this dangerous diversion that we need to be beware of? Well, it is the dangerous diversion of being turned away from the Lord. The dangerous diversion of having our worship, which is meant to be devoted to the Lord our God, having our worship diverted elsewhere. The breaking, you could say, of the second commandment. Just come back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5. So much of this preaching of Moses in Deuteronomy is really expanding the Ten Commandments. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 8, you read these words: "You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." You see, that is the threat. People are being diverted away from worship of the Lord to giving their worship and their love and their loyalty to other things. It comes up three times. Let me show you. Verse 2. Have a look at me at chapter 13 and verse 2. Look what the prophet speaking in the middle says: "Let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them." There's the diversion. You see it? Again, in verse 6, come and have a look at verse 6 with me. If your very own brother or your son or daughter or your wife you love or your closest friend secretly entices you saying, "Let us go and worship other gods, gods you have neither you or your ancestors have known." You see the threat? The diversion of worship. It comes up again, verse 13. You see it there? "Let us go and worship other gods." There is a threat, dangerous voices seeking to divert people away from the Lord who has loved them and rescued them and brought them to the edge of the promised land. And they will face a threat of people saying, "Well, let us go. Let us give our worship and our love and our loyalty in another direction." You see, these are the dangerous voices that are seeking to divert people to worship elsewhere. Look at verse 10. That's how it's described. See, in verse 10, stone them to death. We'll come to that bit. Because they tried to turn you away from the Lord your God. And who is this Lord your God? Well, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. If we could put it like this tonight, there is a worship war going on. There is a pulling and a tussling, a tug of war for your worship. And that is the dangerous diversion. And Moses says to this people as he stands in front of them and he preaches to them, he says, there is a real danger that you will face as you enter into this land, as you live among the nations, the danger of diversions, the danger of being turned away from the Lord. And what is true for this ancient people of Israel is true for those of us today who would call ourselves disciples of the Lord Jesus. It is a diversion away from the kind of love and loyalty that our Lord Jesus wants of us. It's a diversion away from the kind of loyalty described in verse 4. See, look at verse 4 with me. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him, serve him and hold fast to him. That is a great definition of worship. That is what it means to give yourself to somebody. And that threat, the threat of being turned away from that kind of loyalty to God, the reverence and the following and the obeying, is still a live threat for us today. We will face, even this week, all sorts of voices that will try and divert us away from our love and our loyalty to the Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us, and will try and turn us away to worship other things. And all I want to simply do of this passage tonight is we hear this warning of Moses, beware of dangerous diversions. Beware of people who try and direct you into the path of danger. I want to just ask three questions of the text, which I hope will help us to bring out some of the meaning for us today. And here's the first question I want to ask. Where do they come from? Where do these dangerous diversions arise from? Well, Moses highlights three voices where we might experience this turning away. The first is from false prophets, for fear of repeating myself from this morning. Because it's when I opened Deuteronomy 13 this week, by the way, having studied Matthew for this morning, for those of you who weren't here, what was the subject we looked at this morning? False prophets. So I think God might have a message for us today somewhere along the line. And I've been praying that I'm not the false prophet, by the way, especially with the consequences for the false prophet in this chapter. But just look at verse 1, okay? If a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a sign or wonder, and if the sign or wonder spoken of takes place, and the prophet says, let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them, you must not listen to the words of that prophet. Where does this threat come from? Where are we going to experience dangerous diversions from? Well, the threat can come from people who claim to speak for God. People who claim to speak with the authority of God. They might even have a really impressive ministry. They hear a sign or a wonder or a miracle, and people are wowed by that. They're drawn by that. Wow, this person really must be from God. But when they open their mouth, they're diverting them away from God. You see, where do false prophets lead? Where are their words diverting people? Well, not to the Lord, but to other things. Perhaps to themselves. Perhaps to other gods, to other things that you are to rely on. Now, friends, the same is true for us today. If we're going to watch out for these dangerous diversions that can come in our direction, we must be thinking about where they could even come from within the church, from people who claim to speak with the authority of God. Dangerous diversions can come from those who teach, who have ministries that perhaps look big and impressive, Maybe there's even miracles involved. And we might be thinking, wow, this is so impressive. And we'll listen to them. But the threat, this dangerous diversion can come from people that could lure us in. They have the right speech. They have the impressive ministries. But actually, they may be luring us away from God. Beware. Pay attention. The big question to ask of the voices we're listening to is, where are you pointing me? Where are you leading me with your words? See, look again at verse 4. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him. Serve him and hold fast to him. That is a great test for the teachings that we're listening to, whether they are from the front, from a pulpit, whether they're on the radio stations that you listen to, whether they're on the internet and the sermons you're listening to. That is a great test. Where are they asking me to put my obedience and my trust and my reverence? Where are they pointing me to? If it is not to Jesus, then they're a false prophet. They're leading you elsewhere. What they're calling you to follow matters. And that's how you can determine whether they're a real prophet or whether they're a false prophet. The second voice, and I think this one may surprise us, where else can this dangerous diversion come from? Well, it might come from family and friends. Now, I don't know if you noticed that, but have a look with me at verse 6. See, Moses says, this is where it might come from. If your very own brother, or your son, or daughter, or the wife you love, or your closest friend secretly entices you, saying, let us go and worship other gods. And then it goes on to explain that. You see where this threat comes from? Now, this might surprise some of us. But the message is the same for today, isn't it? It can come. The diversion away from worshiping the Lord with our loyalty may come from those who are closest to us. The slow and steady danger of turning us away from the Lord, from our wholehearted loyalty and love to him. You see, the same could be true for us, isn't it? Pressure to turn back to a way of life. Even this week, I met with someone who had very dramatically become a Christian and left behind a whole way of life. And he's got those voices all the time saying, just come back. It's okay. Look, we'll forgive you for becoming a Christian. Just come back and enjoy life the way it was. Now that is a voice in his life that is drawing him back, diverting him away from loyalty. Maybe you experience voices like that in your own life. Or maybe they're voices that are just a little bit more subtle. Maybe there are just voices in your life that are saying, from those closest to you, do you have to go to church this Sunday? Can't we just do something else this Sunday? Maybe there are just subtle voices in our lives from those that are closest to us that are dangerously diverting us away from loyalty and worship of Jesus to worshiping other things, to making other things more important, to revering and following and obeying other things. Beware that dangerous diversions can come from those we know and we love most. There's another voice in this chapter. Where else can it come from? Well, I think this one's a bit more complicated, but I think it's about community. It's the kind of majority idea. So look at verse 12. There's a third threat here. If you hear it said about one of the towns the Lord your God is giving you to live in, that troublemakers have arisen among you and have led the people of their town astray, saying, let us go and worship other gods. Now, we'll pause it there. What is this saying? There is a whole town, there is a whole community that has kind of been led astray, and now they are worshiping other things. So everyone else is looking on at this town and thinking, oh, I wonder what they're doing. This whole town now has a voice of saying, well, we're worshiping other gods. And there's a bit of a public swell, there's a bit of a community movement that's saying, well, maybe we should be doing this instead. Now, I think that's got all sorts of implications for us. Public opinion can have a very strong sway on us, can't it? You see, which of us in this room doesn't feel some kind of pressure when everyone else is doing something different to us? Let's just try and make this personal. Imagine kind of that this represents just kind of the community of churches, and one church somewhere is doing something differently, and they're sort of adopting these new things and saying, we've discovered this, and everyone's feeling the pressure of that church now following perhaps this way. And other churches thinking, oh, well, are we doing the right thing, or are they doing the right thing? You see, public opinion, public movements, community movements can have a really big impact on diverting us away from what we should be doing. See, where does the danger come from? Where are these voices that might be diverting us away from worship of Jesus to dangerous places? Well, they might come from teachers. It might come from family and friends. And it might come from a community, another church perhaps. Or it might come from the community we live in. And so the second question I want to ask, and if that's where these threats come from, if that's where dangerous diversion comes from, the second question I want to ask is this: what are we to do with them? What are we to do with these threats as they arise? What are we to do with these voices that are trying to divert us into the wrong places? And this is where I think we need to handle the Bible very carefully. Because actually, Moses would simply say, you've got to act seriously. You've got to take the threat seriously. And then a pattern starts to form here. Okay. Now, before we get to any of the stoning stuff and all those kind of things, the first thing he says is this. You see it in verse 3. What's the very first thing he says as the voice arrives? You must not listen to their words. You must not listen to them. That's the pattern that starts to evolve. If anyone is diverting your worship away from Jesus to something else, you must not listen. If there is a teacher who is dangerously diverting you away from loyalty to the Lord, you must not listen to them. And the same is true, actually, when it comes to even our friends and our family. Now, I think this one can be much harder to implement. If any of you here have the experience of having people close to you who are trying to divert you, not listening could be much harder than switching off the radio or kind of turning off the internet and listening to false teachers. Actually, when it's friends and family, but what does Moses say? Look at verse 8. Do not yield to them or listen to them. See, that's what he's saying, that the first thing when there is a dangerous conversion, if we're to take a diversion, sorry, is we've got to put our fingers in our ears and we've got to say, I cannot listen to this. I cannot be influenced by this. I cannot be diverted. And friends, the same, you see, just as Moses is saying to the people back then, even with the people you love the most and the closest you most, we mustn't listen to those who try to divert us as well. And so can I ask you this evening, are there voices that we need to stop listening to? Are there radio stations that perhaps we need to turn off? Are there friendships that we might need to put a bit of distance in at the moment because they're just not helpful in keeping us on track with Jesus? Are there voices that are trying to turn us from loving Jesus and obeying Jesus with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength? What are we to do? We must not listen to them. We must not listen to their diversions. But there is more that we need to deal with in this passage, isn't there? You see, look at verse 5. What are they to do to the false teacher? The prophet or dreamer must be put to death for inciting rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. That prophet or dreamer tried to turn you away from the Lord your God, commanded you to follow. You must purge the evil among you. That's pretty serious, isn't it? And then again, and maybe this is more shocking to our ears, verses 9 and 10. This is about family and friends. You must certainly put them to death. Your hand must be the first in putting them to death. And then the hands of all the people, stone them to death because they tried to turn you away from the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And then it gets even more dramatic because a whole community is commanded to be put to death. Just look at verse 15 through to verse 17. If you find a town that has been led astray, you must certainly put to the sword all who live in that town. You must destroy it completely, both its people and its livestock. You are to gather all the plunder of the town into the middle of the public square and completely burn the town and all its plunder as a whole burnt offering to the Lord your God. That town is to remain a ruin forever, never to be rebuilt. Now, if you're still with me, I'm not sure that there'll be a set of ears in here that doesn't find that slightly shocking. Is that right? Maybe it sounds over the top to you, a little bit extreme. And maybe for some of us it raises questions about God. Why would God command that about a town and about your family and your friends? But I think if we're to begin to understand what God is saying here to this ancient community of Israel, I think we begin to get a hint of that at the end of verse 5. You see, look at the phrase that he says just at the very end, that last sentence. You must purge the evil from among you. You see, that's what's going on here in these verses. And that begins to get us to the heart of what God is trying to help us to understand here. The consequences for trying to turn people away from the Lord should bring home to us actually the seriousness in God's eyes of not only giving your worship to someone other than the Lord, but leading others to do the same. You see, if you want to know how seriously God takes that, then this chapter brings you right to the heart of it, doesn't it? It brings you to the heart of seeing that this is such an offense to God that it is worthy of death. And as we read back on this as New Testament believers, we can say, actually, look, giving my worship to someone other than the Lord, Father, Son, and Spirit, and leading others to do the same is a sin that led our Lord Jesus to the cross. You see, what was Jesus bearing at the cross if not the punishment for being wandering people? Being people who have diverted our worship to other things. See, Jesus, as he hung on the cross, was enduring the punishment that this chapter talks about. He was enduring the punishment for being led astray. See, Romans 6, verse 23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death. It is a serious thing and therefore should be treated seriously. Now, whilst the New Testament does not command us to go putting to death people who try and lead us astray, it does say to us that we are to take sin seriously. Those of us who've been here on Sunday mornings will have recently heard the teachings of Jesus where he said, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. What's he saying? Take sin seriously, because sin is offensive to God and we should be putting it to death in our lives. Diverting people away from worshipping the true God, Jesus our Savior, is a serious thing and should be treated seriously. Evil must be purged from our lives, and diversion from church, voices that are leading us astray, must be purged from our lives. Radical action is called for if we face the danger of being turned away from our wholehearted devotion to the Lord. And I guess for every single one of us in this room, we've got different consequences to think through when it comes to what are we to do about this. But it begins with not listening, and it may mean that we need serious action in our lives to get rid of the things that are going to lead us away from the Lord. So can I ask you this evening, what radical actions will you have to take this week? What voices, not literally because you'll be in prison, but what voices will you have to put to death this week to get rid of, to purge? Dangerous diversions will arise from all sorts of places. Dangerous diversions must be dealt with seriously. But the third question I want to ask very briefly as we finish is this. Why does God allow these kind of things into our life? See, if God loves the church so much, if God has rescued us, why would he allow people anywhere near us who are going to try and divert us away from worshiping him? Well, the answer to this is found in verse 3, second half of verse 3. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. You see, Moses says to this people that when these prophets arise, when they come and they try and dangerously divert you to other places, what is the Lord doing? He is testing you. God, who's in control of all things, allows such voices into our lives as his people to prove, to test, and to prove, and to strengthen our wholehearted devotion to him. Now, maybe you're sitting here, this is not an easy chapter, by the way, but maybe you're sitting there thinking, okay, now my mind's really blown. that God would allow these kind of things into my life? Why would he test those he loves? Because his goal for people like the people of Israel and his goal for us is verse 4. That's what he passionately longs for you. That you serve him and follow him and revere him and keep his commands and so serve him and hold fast to him. That is God's goal. That is his heart for you. That is what he longs for. And friends, just as it was true for Moses and the people of Israel, it is true for us today. God will test our faith. Do you believe that? God will test our faith, not to catch you out, but to strengthen you. To strengthen you in your devotion to Jesus, who we should be loyal to. Testing strengthens our faith. It trains us to do the right thing. Last week, I went to one of my kids' parents' evening, and it's all about exams. It's unbelievable. Just exam, 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 exam. And they test them, and they test them, and they test them. And I said, why do you do so many tests? And they said, because by the time we finish testing them, when the real ones come, they know exactly what they're doing. And that's what they do. They train it into them, test and test and test, because it makes sure they end up doing the right thing. And the same is true when it comes to our faith. See, that's why James in the New Testament says this. Let me read it to you. He says to the church, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Friends, God wants our worship. He wants our loyalty. He wants our wholehearted devotion. He wants it so much that he sent Jesus into this world to die for us and to restore us to himself. And he sent his spirit into this world to reorientate our hearts, to worship in the right direction. He is so passionate about your worship that he will do anything it takes to strengthen it and to keep it in the right place. And that includes testing it. And that's why God might be allowing some tests in your life, some voices that might be trying to say, why don't you come over here and worship? And you're saying, no, I want to worship the Lord. His tests are strengthening us. So friends, thank you for listening patiently. Deuteronomy 13 is not an easy chapter. But here's the thing. It is a chapter that teaches us to watch out for dangerous diversions this week. If we read a chapter like this with all its difficult bits and think it's got nothing to do with us, then we are in a dangerous place. Because actually, there are diversions all around us, dangerous diversions that take us away from following God, from loving him, from being loyal to him, and putting our trust and our confidence in other places. And those voices may come from all sorts of areas, all sorts of places that you least expect this week. But if we take away anything from this chapter, it's saying, be careful. Watch out. These voices will come. And we need to learn as the church what it looks like to deal with those voices seriously and as a threat. And we need to learn to get rid of them from our lives so that we can be loyal to the Lord Jesus. We need to deal with them because the consequences are serious. Friends, let's pray together. I'm aware this raises probably lots of questions for some of you, and we can talk about them afterwards. But let's pray together, and then we'll come to the Lord's table. Our Father in heaven, these teachings of Deuteronomy can be hard for our ears to hear. But we thank you that your word lovingly warns us that there will be people all around us who seek to divert us away from our loyalty to you, the one who sent Jesus into this world to save us. Father, please would we be alert to those voices this week. Please would you keep us from being dangerously diverted into the path of danger. Lord, our wandering hearts, our humanity, as it were, that has already turned its back on you and worshipped elsewhere, exchanging your glory for something else, is worthy of condemnation. We thank you that in your grace you've restored us to yourself. And we ask, Father, that you would keep us loyal to you, loyal to the Lord Jesus, that we'd avoid these voices. Father, please help us, particularly where that's a very difficult thing because people are so close to us. Please help us to work out what it means to not listen and to remove those voices from among us. Father, we ask for your help, please, in this, in Jesus' name. Amen.